Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 73 of Slamfire Radio for September 5th. I'm one of your hosts this week, Matthew the Warning Shot McClatchy, and I'm joined by...
Trevor the Fralatte.
And...
Owen the Fluellinge.
Awesome. That's up here in Canada, eh? We put an A on the end of all of our, you know, the McClatchy A and the Fralatte and the Fluelling A.
Well, I see. I built mine into my name, so I didn't have to add an extra one.
Right.
Unless so I went like Fralatte AA.
Right.
And some people think Fralatte should go to AA.
Oh, very nice.
That worked out really well.
It really did. Yeah.
Finally, one
part where I have to go to AA. What the heck? I'm out. You know the difference between me and an alcoholic?
They go to AA meetings?
That's right. I'm a drunk. Alcoholics have to go to those stupid meetings. Wow. Cut all of that.
Yeah. I think I'm going to have to.
I'm not even drinking.
All right. Well, why don't we start off with Owen and what he's been doing this week with guns and stuff?
This week I did... Jack Squat.
Jack Squat. That's a level up from...
Diddly Squat.
Diddly Squat.
Diddly Squat, exactly. I didn't do anything with guns this week.
No?
I didn't take a gun out of the gun case. I didn't do anything.
So how are you liking that new job? Sounds like it's really leaving a lot of free time on your hands.
Yeah, it's less the job and just other stuff I have to do besides that job. So, yeah. No, the new job's going good. Today was very heavy, but a lot of stuff to do, orientation tomorrow. But no, I'm hoping to go goose hunting on the weekend, on Saturday. So that's an up-and-coming gun event, hopefully, if somebody doesn't steal my field. But
right.
But I did find some tonight, so.
Well, that's good. Well, we'll talk more about that later on. Let's move over to Trevor then, if Owen's, you know, finally quiet about all the stuff he did this week. We'll move to Trevor, who we always know only takes just a few seconds of our time.
I want you to go back and listen. And you know, it hasn't been anywhere near as long as you'd like to pretend it has.
Look, I have to carry on the joke.
I understand.
Look, stereotypes are there for... You really did, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, since the Ipsic Provincials, I've been battling with... a malfunction in my STI true bore.
Hey, what platform is that gun built on again?
It's the shut your stupid pie hole platform. That's what platform it is.
I like how you're hurting and all I do is pour salt in your wound and then stick my thumb in there and twist.
This is exactly what you would probably do if we were ever together and I received a gunshot wound.
Probably. Like, Trevor, hold on. I got some quick clot.
Quick
or
clot,
salt.
Yeah. I gotta put it in with my thumb, though. After I rub it on my boot. So,
that's
anyway.
A way of applying it. Never thought of that before.
My 2011.
Right.
Right after the... And I've been yakking about this for a while now on both shows, but anyway.
About how reliable it is.
Well, how reliable it was. The gun ran flawlessly all summer. And right after the Nova Scotia Provincials, when I went to the range the next day to figure out whether or not my sight mount had loosened, which in fact it had, I started to get some stovepipes.
So back up, the poor shooting that happened was simply the result of a loose mount then. That wasn't you.
Not necessarily. I did drop a lot of points because of the loose mount, but I did not run a good match as far as... breaking down stages and being...
Sure, but we're just talking about the shooting, though, part. Because you were complaining you got a bunch of mics and penalty targets. So that wasn't you crapping the bed. That was just sight mount was broken. So.
Yeah, we confirmed that. We checked my sight mark, and my gun was shooting 3 to 4 inches low.
Okay, well, that's good to hear anyway, because, I mean, now you know you didn't suck as bad as you thought you did.
Exactly, but it doesn't lessen the pain, but thanks.
No problem.
So anyway.
So a little bit of balm for that salty wound there.
Yeah, exactly. A little, only a little.
Just a smidge. That's all
you
you're
opened
getting.
Opened the cap and kind of waved your hand over it. You didn't actually apply any.
Smell this. This would make you feel so much better if we actually applied it.
Yeah. So anyway, I've been trying to get my extractor tuned in the gun. Since the day after the Nova Scotia Provincials. And as a result, between this gun and my STI Eagle, I fired a grand total of 1,850 rounds since the Nova Scotia Provincials.
Holy crap! That's more rounds than I've shot this year.
Yeah, that's
so
more,
far.
Yeah, it's a significant amount. I tried to get the AFTEC back online by replacing the springs, and that did nothing to improve the reliability of the AFTEC. So I installed the factory extractor, and it worked a little bit better. I thought I could make it better by making sure it was tuned, so I went to the STI's YouTube channel, and I watched their video on how to tune an extractor in one of their 1911-style guns.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that, and it seemed good, and it ran good for a while. And then, again, last night I had 3 malfunctions. I had 2 failures to eject, and 1 failure to feed, where the bullet actually came up out of the mag at such a steep angle that it wedged itself into the top of the chamber.
Oh,
so
crazy.
Yeah, I decided before I went to practice that if I had one single malfunction, that I would not shoot in open this weekend.
Right.
And I would shoot standard. So I went to the range today and brought my standard gun with me, 350 rounds, and practiced, and had a miserable practice session. Just slow and painful, and not getting hits that I would normally get. And I don't know if I'm shooting too much, if I need a break or what, but very frustrated. What else did I do? I gave the new guy a tour of our range today. And by new guy, I don't mean new club member. I mean the guy fresh out of depot in Regina.
Hi.
The RCMP were driving by, and I'm embarrassed that I can't remember the officer's name because I know him. His wife is a teacher at my wife's school, and so every time there's a staff function, he's there, and we get talking about, you know, all things guns and RCMP and stuff like that. And he's got a daughter that he wanted to get into our 22 kids program, and real nice guy. So anyway, he had a rookie with him who just, I'm like, could be his first shift for all I know. He's green and fresh from depot. So that's the new guy. I gave the tour of the range. They stopped in just as I was locking the gate. He's like, "Hey, Trevor, what's going on? You doing some shooting and stuff?" I'm like, "No, I was here to read a book." So anyway, I said, "You guys, you know, you want to show the new guy around?" So I jumped in the back of their SUV, and we drove around the range. And as I was describing the stages for the 3-gun, the guy I know, I think his name is Andy, he was like, "You guys are having just too much fun back here." And the other guy, the new guy, was very quiet and just kind of like, "You do what? What do you do with this thing over here?" I was showing him the house, showing him the maze. And I'm like, "So in this stage here, you're going to start lying on a cot upstairs at the back of the range. You'll jump up, grab your AR, engage targets from the back balcony, and then, you know, drop your AR, transition to your shotgun, shoot some steel through this port, run down the stairs, grab your pistol." He's like, "You do what?" I don't, you know, he did not a clue about action shooting.
"Is this legal?"
Yeah, pretty much. So, anyway, yeah, hopefully he'll take an interest in it and want to come out and play.
Sure.
So, anyhow, yeah, that's all I did.
Cool.
Going to the provincial, shoot my open gun's going to suck.
I'm glad you're really enthused about this.
Open guns for sale, by the way. If anybody's interested, send me a
$20?
Times a lot.
No, I mean, no. You give me $20 and I'll take it.
Yeah.
And I'll throw it in the river for you.
The True Bore, STI True Bore, the gun alone is 38, I think. I'll check.
Well, the way that you're really talking up its reliability, I mean, you can probably really...
It is reliable. The extractor needs to be tuned. That's it.
Oh, okay.
It's a fact of life with this platform. That's why the AFTEC extractor was invented. It's not spring steel. by tuning it, you replace the springs when they wear out.
Right, gotcha.
The spring in your Glock extractor will wear out someday. I hate to bust your bubble, but it's a fact.
No.
It's true. And
I'm sorry. That's not. You need to retract that immediately.
No. Not going to happen.
Glocks do not fail. Period.
They do fail.
In our reality, they do not fail.
Yeah, yes.
Like I reject reality. Your reality and substitute my own.
Yeah. So anyway, the Aftec extractor, when they go to tune, it just simply means it's time to replace the springs.
Yep.
And I did that, but it didn't solve the problem. Pat's Aftec extractor. This is kind of like when I had my Glock all tuned. The non-factory parts were the ones that were failing, not the Glock parts.
That's right, yeah.
Pat's Aftec extractor also failed on him. He replaced the springs. It didn't do the job. You're not supposed to have to bend the Aftec extractor, but he did, and it worked. So
that's good.
You have to do the same. It's frustrating because, you know, they're a $130 extractor. They're supposed to be the last extractor you'll ever buy for your 1911-style gun.
That sounds like an oxymoron right there, but...
Yeah. So, anyway, I'm going to retune the factory extractor because it's just quite possible that I don't have an extractor tension gauge, and I don't even know if such a thing exists. So, I'm just going to put it, you take it out of the slide and then insert it about halfway into the slide and bend it to reapply tension to the hook. And maybe I just didn't bend it enough yet.
Maybe. But
you can, and the tricky part is you can put too much tension on the extractor. So you can have failures to eject because your extractor doesn't have enough tension, and then you can have failure to extract because your extractor has too much tension. Wonderful, huh?
It sounds like a real joy.
Well, that's why the springs are so much better. The Glock one has, you know, the Glock extractor has a spring, an AR-15 extractor has a spring,
yeah.
A Tanfoglio extractor has a spring.
That's right. You just wear out the spring and put a new spring in, and you don't have to worry about bending stuff.
So that's what the Aftec is. It's the same
except
as every other gun.
It's not working.
Right. Which makes me want to shoot my gun in the face. My gun had a face, I'd shoot it in the face.
You'd shoot your gun in the face with
like
itself.
I sound like
somehow
violent anti-gunners.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of stuff on the internet this week about
you guys
are all criminals, you're all terrorists.
Yep.
You're like, I think somebody even called gun owners pedophiles. Like, just the rhetoric that's been online this week from antis towards us has just been
crazy
and violent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, very, well, yeah.
I mean, I own a gun, ergo, I'm a terrorist.
Yeah.
I don't remember going to the meeting. I don't have a terrorist card.
Well, Sean Bevins has come up with a new hashtag. It's hashtag psycho anti-gun.
Yep.
And he's been posting, I guess he's been chatting with a bunch of anti-gunners on Twitter or something. I don't know.
I'm going to stop you right there and interrupt like you do sometimes. Yeah. I'm going to give you my honest opinion. I really have a lot of respect for Sean Bevins. I met him. He stayed in my home. Or did he? Well, he spent a lot of time with us when he's here for SummerSlam. So, you know, don't mistake what I'm going to say next as me not respecting Sean Bevins. I do. However, I believe that exercise is a waste of time and resources. You're not going to change the anti's minds. Don't you have something better to do with your time than repost anti rhetoric?
But maybe what he would
flames.
Maybe what it does is it for people who are on the fence makes them realize, wow, I don't want to go over to that side because they're crazy over there.
Right. Only he's posting it in a place. Only he's posting it on his Facebook.
Right.
Where there's probably nobody on his Facebook that's on the fence.
The other thing it does is it bolsters us as gun owners, and it goes, okay, we've got somebody on our side, and look at that. Let's kind of band together and go, these guys are numpties. Look at that. Let's, you know, and it kind of gives us a bit of camaraderie because we're in this together, and it kind of gives us a little bit of a laugh at, I can't believe they're saying that.
Mm.
Maybe. I'm just, you know, jumping to devil's advocate like I always do.
And that's fair, but that still doesn't sell me on the activity being worth a person's time.
Sure.
So, but, you know, I'm not...
Little battles, guys. I mean, sometimes you've got to fight those little battles.
And that's the thing. Sometimes if you don't... yes, I understand what you're saying, Trev, because anti-gunners are always going to be... you know, you're hardly ever going to change their minds, but at the same time, if you don't fight them, then other people just see them as what they are, and they don't see the other side of the argument.
Yeah, the only good thing that possibly can come out of this is, as you said, somebody who's on the fence sees the pro-gun person staying
being
calm, being polite, not insulting, not uttering death threats, and seeing the other person going off the deep end and calling the person a terrorist, this, that, and the other thing, you know, and they're thinking, well, like, geez, my uncle had a gun. He wasn't a terrorist, so they can't paint them all with the same brush. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I you know, I'm very fortunate. Whether it should concern me or not, it did.
Right.
I got a new person that I'm working with this year. I met them for the first time on Tuesday, and you know, my screensaver on my computer, even though it's a school computer, is a gun. My desktop wallpaper is the Action Shooting Radio logo. My phone screensaver is a gun, and that's just the way it's going to be. And I didn't know this person from Adam. And so is this person going to be anti-gun? What's their attitude going to be like? Well, we spent about an hour today talking about Moncton, and she was the one that brought up many, many times. Well, she had a few questions about the weapons and the things they said in the media, and I showed her the guns online and I explained the difference between prohibited, non-restricted, restricted, and all that good stuff. And she was like, it bugged me when people attacked the gun. The gun didn't do this. He did this. And this woman has the same threat assessment training that I have.
Yeah.
And so she knew full well that when the father finally said that he had been spiraling for the past 18 months, her, myself, anybody else with threat assessment training, we were not surprised to hear that. Because, again, no one ever just snaps. No one snaps.
Yeah,
there's always a progression, right?
Yep.
And so I was really – she said there are no guns in her house or anything, but she's certainly not anti-guns. That was a relief.
That's good.
And it would be somebody like her that would read the comments of the antis calling us terrorists and everything, and she'd go, man, these guys are idiots.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of how Kylan Langman, Dr. Langman, became pro-gun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly. He looked into it himself, and it turned out that these guys aren't the numpties; it's the other guys are. Yeah.
Yeah. So being a scientist and a researcher, he saw one side using facts and the other side using emotion. So it was a no brainer which side he was going to go on.
For sure.
All right. What about you? Did you tell us yet what you did?
I did not.
All right.
Well, shall I?
That. Yes, please.
Okay. I went to the range with Jewel. And we shot the Armed Squirrels Friends Rifleman's Challenge.
Squirrels Friends Rifleman Challenge, which actually ends up being the same initials as
SFRC.
One of my favorites. Yeah.
Gotcha. So we shot that together. We both did all right. I could have done better, and so could she have, but she did a really good job. She got 117 points out of it's out of a possible 320 or something. But you'd have to be an amazing shot to get a perfect score.
Is that what?
I don't even think Brian could do it.
Wow! There you go, Brian. Second, we hit you.
Actually, we'll go with that. I was going to defend you, Brian, but I was like, no, wait, that's not in the script.
It's funner not to.
Anyway, it's. The target is a bunch of animals, and they vary in size, and each one has a points value attached to it. And so you have 12 rounds, 1 minute, it's at 25 yards, and there's no support. So you can either shoot standing, kneeling, sitting, prone, however you like, but you can't use sandbags or benches or anything like that. It's no support. So we shot it prone because, of course, that's the most stable way to shoot. And Jewel just kind of went around the paper and shot at each target and managed to hit quite a few of them and got some good points. I picked the biggest target that I felt I could hit 12 times and nailed it 12 times, or tried to nail it 12 times to get what I felt would be the maximum points. I missed it 4 times out of 12, but I still managed to pull off 120 points. But I think with a bit more practice, I could probably do better. And the really cool thing is you can shoot it as many times as you like. So I'm going to go out and just one shot at a time, shoot it until I finally hit the smallest target, and then when I do, I'll just keep shooting and count my minute after that and see if I can get maximum points that way.
You freaking gamer.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Look, I almost won last month's challenge, and then the day that the challenge closed, some guy posted like almost a perfect target score. I'm like, oh, come on. So I'm gonna get a really good score, and I'll make sure I don't cheat. I'll do it exactly the way I'm supposed to, follow all the rules and whatnot, but I'm going to wait till the second last day of the challenge before I post it up so nobody else takes it out from under me.
There you go. They got targets saved up, right? And there's like, wait till McClatchy posts and then post this
then
one.
As soon as McClatchy posts, then we'll all post ours.
Post the one that you did with the pencil.
But it's, yeah, exactly. It's fun, though. It's a neat way to get out and really see your skills as a rifleman as opposed to just going to the range and shooting groups. Because when you go to the range and shoot groups, typically you're shooting off sandbags or off a rest or, you know, off the bench or whatever, and the gun's as stable as it possibly can be. And what you're doing is you're testing how lightly you can press the trigger without disturbing the rifle as it sits all by itself in sandbags.
Yep.
And I mean, that there's a certain skill to that, and there's a, you know, a sport behind there somewhere, but...
Sure, but it doesn't leave the bags.
Right. Out hunting, that doesn't help you at all. And as a rifleman, you're using your rifle for hunting or self-defense or, you know, whatever. You don't take the time to set up sandbags and a bench whenever you need to engage a target. You just engage the target. So it's kind of neat to have these rules that you have to kind of abide by to force you into positions that, you know, you would see in the real world as opposed to ideal conditions. And it really does open your eyes as to, ooh, I could really work on this a little bit.
Yeah. Well, when I did my first one, all I kept thinking when I was done was, I got to come back and do this with a pistol so I have a chance. Because it was bad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you are a pistol guy. And as you see clearly, you know, you transition to a rifle, something you haven't worked with for a while. You know, your skills, they perish. You gotta keep practicing with them.
Yep. Oh, I can't wait for the provincials to be done.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go to the range and shoot AR, like, nonstop, and my shotgun.
Right.
Get ready.
Because we've got that three-gun coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that was the shooting I did. I also might be shooting provincials with Trevor, depending on the forecast. We'll see how that goes. You'll find out next week whether or not we were there. Or you can check Facebook, because we'll either be on there saying that we went, or we'll be on there with all kinds of people making fun of us because we didn't.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. Also, I helped get an anti-gun newspaper opinion article pulled offline.
Do tell.
It was really, it infuriated me. I found the article when the NFA put out its daily or semi-daily publication of gun stories in the news, basically. And this was one of the links, and it boiled my blood when I read it. A guy named Avik Jain wrote it, and it was called Morons Pack Heat, and it was in the Prince Arthur Herald. And basically what he did was used all kinds of emotion and slander and name-calling and finger-pointing and are you guys still there?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, because my power just flickered, so I wasn't sure if we just lost the connection because you guys were quiet. So anyway, I'm just going to continue on because who likes to edit? He basically called us all out and called us all, you know, right in the title, a bunch of morons for being gun owners. And he claimed that the United States had a way higher violent crime rate because there were so many more guns in the States, and it just went on and on. And it was just, I just, not going to take this. So I was the first guy to respond to this article, and I replied with, I'm sorry, but the stats just don't back you up, man. I used facts. I used no emotion. I just used solid facts and statistics and said, you know, Canada has a higher violent crime rate than the States. So what do you say to that, basically, is how I wrote it, a little bit more eloquent than that. And then a bunch of other pro-gun guys, Rod Giltaka from Civil Advantage, and a bunch of others, I recognized quite a few of them, all continued to post underneath me and basically refuted everything that was being said in this opinion article. And a day later, because of all of the complaints and because all of the replies and because of everybody writing to the editor saying, look, this guy is not right. You know, what he wrote is not right, and we're taking offense to it. They actually pulled it.
Unbelievable.
So there's no link to it anymore. You can't get to it. It's gone. And in its place, Alan Paley, and I hope I pronounce his name right, penned a rebuttal called a response to Moron's Pack Heat, and he basically laid it out in a line and said, look, stats don't back you up, buddy. You know, you can't just go around saying this sort of thing and expect us to just sit back and take it, because we're not going to.
That's awesome. You know, the tide is turning. However, I wonder if the antis had come on and went, yay, good for you, yeah, you're right, if they would have left it up.
I don't know. So, interesting, and I'm glad it didn't come to that. Mm. So, yeah, that was kind of my week. It was, kind of fun. So, I guess we'll move on to some upcoming events. As Trevor mentioned, we got the Multigun coming up September 13th. That's 2 weekends from now. $20. Walk-ons are permitted, so come on out. It's sponsored by Press Check Ventures. There will be mags to win on the table. So if you want a Press Check Ventures mag, come on out and maybe you'll win one.
Nine stages.
How many? Nine?
Nine, yeah. I got to get the round counts republished.
Right, because you change them every week.
Well, and I knock back the stages, right?
Right.
So think of it like there'll be...
You're going to make up these numbers now on the spot, aren't you?
Yeah, call
it. And they're going to change.
100 rifle and 80 shotgun and 60 pistol or something like that.
Okay. We'll call it that, and then it'll be different.
Yep.
Okay, cool. So I'm glad you took the time to come up with numbers that are not going to stand.
I believe the word's called estimate. Or maybe it's shut up.
I'm pretty sure it's shut up tonight. Yeah,
for sure, yeah.
All right. Thunderbird Tactical Carbine Clinic, October 11th. One spot left, $200. Come on out. We need one more person to send in there. Actually, you know what? No, Luke has paid. We're waiting for one person. So,
way to call out Luke. Way to let the world know that Luke was the last guy who hadn't paid yet.
No, he's not the last. There's one more. Luke, you're the second last guy to pay. He actually didn't know that he had a spot. He heard.
Yeah, I know. He told me it was fine.
So it's cool that he saved you a spot, Luke. We like you. Not like that Brian Bolivar guy.
The bum.
Look, he's not even... Look, I don't feel bad for making fun of him a little bit, because he hasn't come to New Brunswick once this year.
Yeah. Are you sure about that?
No, I'm not sure about that, because he drove through and didn't stop in to say hi.
There you go.
So, thanks, Brian. You're a real pal.
Or maybe he stopped and just didn't stop at your house.
Right, because he doesn't...
See you.
Yeah.
Because he went to see Owen.
Look, here's the thing. He did go to see you, didn't he?
That's right. Where do you think the shirts came from?
So Brian, see? I like you even less. Gosh. All right. Anyway, whatever.
Well, I guess we know who his favorite host is.
Yeah. Clearly it's Owen.
I'm okay with this.
Yeah, I guess so, too.
He didn't stop at my place.
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
Oh. All right.
I'm just saying you don't know that he didn't.
Right. Now you're just making up stuff.
Well, you complain here. Okay, so now you complain I don't talk enough. Now you complain that I, am talking. So
no, go talk.
Oh, you both got sand all up in your skirts. Let's just get along. Can't we all be friends?
No.
All right then.
Not with Brian, that's for sure.
But you know what? I feel bad for Brian. Brian gets a bum rap on a bunch of there's only Chaz, really. Chaz gives him a hard time. Yeah. And then
Chaz gives everybody a hard time.
Yeah, he really is a vicious, vicious man. I think he's trying to be like John Hathaway, only not funny or good at it.
Hathaway's funny.
Yeah, but Hathaway also is a scary dude. Yeah. So, yeah, listeners, Brian really isn't an a-hole.
He really isn't. This guy. Yeah, he really is.
Chaz has been working hard to ruin his reputation.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm kind of okay with it.
Well, he hasn't come to visit yet this year, so...
And he's not going to, so...
Maybe next year will be nice to you, Brian. And maybe next year Santa Claus will bring you stuff.
Yeah. And it won't be Ebola.
Right. This time. Right.
Yeah, he's at the Canadian Nationals right now.
For service conditions, right?
Yeah, some boring rifle sport.
Yeah, where they just kind of lay around and shoot stuff at, like, huge targets at, like, long distances, which is super easy. Whatever.
With high-powered scopes.
Oh, man. Oh, that went off the rails quick.
Where are we?
We're just getting ready to go into news. So if you want to come shoot the carbine clinic, send us $200. I'm looking at you, Alex.
Yeah, exactly. Me too.
Him or Jess. Rick, line it up, buddy. Get it done.
Yeah. Yep.
Daniel wants his money. Daniel's ready to break legs if he doesn't get his money soon. So come on, let's get this done. Okay, Owen, you haven't spoken enough yet. Please bring us this first news story. And
all
by
right.
First, I mean only.
Really?
I don't know. I can't count. There's two of them. So bring us the first one.
Two of them, but the other one could be kind of... Yeah, it is a news story, not listener feedback. Okay.
All right.
The VZ-58 pistol, not a pistol, according to RCMP. This was posted on the interwebs by TV Press Pass. In October 2013, with the help of Zoll.org, I imported a CSA VZ-58 pistol and sought to register it with the RCMP. After emails, phone calls, and picture taking, the RCMP seemed totally befuddled as to what we had and asked if they could take a look at it. We sent it off, and 9 months later, they claimed to have figured it out. You can find a copy of the RCMP's report, warts and all, right here at tvpresspass.com. I am disappointed to find that against all evidence, the RCMP has sought to shut out the VZ-58 pistol. Apparently, my VZ-58 pistol is technically a handgun, but it is not a pure handgun. Instead, it is a quote-unquote handgun adaption of a rifle, which means that my separately sourced magazine from the Czech Republic is actually a rifle magazine posing as a handgun magazine. There's no classification in Canadian law for a handgun adaption of a rifle. Honestly, I find this pretty disheartening. I've had $1,500 of my own money tied up in this gun for 9 months, and to have this ridiculous report come back is a slap in the face. The interpretation of the law seems to vary widely from firearm to firearm. An AR-15 pistol, like the Rock River Arms LAR or the ATRS pistol, have a 10-round capacity, but the VZ family does not. This seems like more muddying of the lineage argument, which seems to ignore what things are in favor of what they might have been. You all right?
Sorry, I had my mic muted the wrong way. I was just clearing my throat. I thought it was muted and it wasn't. My bad. All right, sorry, carry on. I'll clear my throat now that it's muted.
This seems like an unfortunate continuation of the RCMP's targeting the CZ-858, the VZ-58, and the SA-58 pattern rifles. I'm currently exploring options with the Canadian Firearms Association and media, but after 9 months, I'm pretty darn tired of being strung along.
Yeah, this is pretty disappointing news. Pretty unfortunate.
Yeah.
Basically, the RCMP is just looking for reasons to
say no to stuff.
To say no to stuff.
They're just making stuff up again. This adaption line.
It's adaptation, but that's okay. You can keep going with adaption if you like. Yeah.
Yeah. So you and the RCMP can shut it. I think it should be appealed, taken to court.
We have precedent set already. We have
the AR. That's what I'm trying to spit out, but the hoppies is starting to get to me.
No, I understand.
We have, we already have AR pistols. If you can have an AR pistol, how can you classify one as an AR pistol and then say the other one's an adaption?
Especially when, I see what you did there. Especially when the AR.
I did there.
You said adaption again, instead of adaptation. I thought you were doing it on purpose to rub me the wrong way, but clearly you just have been smelling the hoppies too much. The AR-15,
adaptation.
The AR-15 pistol has the buffer tube sticking out the back, which makes it look even more like a rifle and less like a pistol,
exactly.
And the VZ doesn't.
Exactly.
It's just a straight pistol grip, and the mag just happens to be in front, and it looks like a very short rifle without the buttstock, and that makes it a handgun because it's designed to be fired with one hand.
Yep.
And I don't know, this has got to be in the law somewhere, in the Firearms Act. What is the official definition of a handgun? And if we can get that, then we can send that to the RCMP officer in charge and say, look, just follow the law. Your job isn't to make up the law or to try to enforce the spirit of the law. Your job is to enforce the law as it is written, and I'm sorry, but if the AR-15 can be a pistol, so can this. Give us our 10-round pistol mags. And that's basically all he wants to do, is not let us have our 10-round pistol mags.
That's exactly what it's all about. We all know it, and the RCMP knows it.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason that people want this rifle in Canada is so we can have another 10-round rifle mag.
Which, I'm perfectly fine with, because that's the way the law is written. If they didn't want us to have 10-round magazines in our rifles, they would have written the law differently.
That's right. So,
They did it wrong. I'm sorry about it, but we're going to carry on as best we can.
Yes. So it's going to take somebody like Solomon Friedman, or who's the other guy?
Ed Berlin.
Ed, to go in front of a judge and point out that they're not following their own law. And like you said, all you have, like, you can send them the legal definition of a pistol all you want, Matthew.
And they're just going to, yeah, they don't care because, yeah, right. Unless they're in court. And even exactly. Still, we could talk to Daniel Bolofsky about this. Even still, after getting a court order, they could just ignore it like they've been doing with Daniel.
Yeah, I wonder, I was going to actually Facebook Daniel this week and see if he had an update for us.
Yeah, that'd be cool. We should get him on, see what's going on with him there.
And Archie Perry, if you're listening, whatever, man.
Who? Archie who now?
Oh, stop.
Who's that guy?
Archie Perry.
He should really, like, maybe step up and, like, send us stuff, and then maybe he'd get a shout-out. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's not like he's an an interactive listener.
No, it's not like he ever sends us anything. Wait a minute. Yes, he does. We love you, Archie, and you should come on the show with us sometime. No, we're going to get to his email later, actually. I don't know why we jumped to it now, but Trevor seemed to squirrel off, and so we went with it.
I do that.
All right. Owen, you read the last one, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Trevor, I don't suppose you want to read this one, do you?
No, I'm cleaning my slide.
All right, you clean your slide, and I will read about wild boars spreading fast, causing destruction. And this was sent in by Jason Philp, and he invited us out with our sub-2000s, apparently, to shoot wild boars with
him. He said, bring your sub-2000 and your XCR. Both guns I've sold. Gone. Thanks for paying attention.
thanks for stabbing.
He's too busy tagging us in pictures on Facebook.
That's right. Yeah. Canada's picturesque landscapes could be in for one ugly makeover if Saskatchewan doesn't get its wild boar population under control. Imported here in the late 1980s and early 1990s, the large, furry, tusked, cute little animals are quickly multiplying and leaving swaths of destruction in their wake. They dig up and flatten farmland, eat crops and other vegetation, and can carry parasites that can easily be transmitted to people and livestock. But the damage they have caused so far is just the tip of the iceberg, warns biologist Ryan Brook. Wild boars could soon outnumber the roughly 1.1 million people who call this province home. They have 2 litters per year on average, 6 or more per litter. They have a high survival rate with virtually no predators, so their potential to be a huge invasive species in Canada is definitely a reality.
Just like everywhere else?
Uh-huh.
Australia, down south.
Yep.
Man, we need to get some helicopter hog hunting on the go right now.
Let's go. Because they are nocturnal, many residents may not even realize they have wild boars in their area or even on their own farms. By the time sightings become more common, it's likely to be too late. South of the border, escalating wild boar populations have caused millions of dollars in damage, disease outbreaks, and food recalls, including a massive outbreak of E. coli in spinach from California.
Spawn really bad reality TV shows.
It really did. Brooks says any of those issues could unfold right here in Saskatchewan if the province doesn't start taking this more seriously. The province says there has been a program in place since 2007 to help control the wild boar population. It involves 2 teams throughout the province that, based on complaints from different rural municipalities, go out and hunt them in the wintertime in a concerted effort. They spot them by airplane and then go find their den and then go out and try to get the entire den all at once to help control the different hotspots.
I kind of like it.
That sounds one way of doing it. I think a better way would be to
let us shoot them at night from a helicopter
with night vision
And a Dillon minigun
and suppressed.
You can't suppress a Dillon minigun.
Yes, you can.
All right, then I'm in.
You're just not trying hard enough.
A Dillon minigun suppressed sounds like this.
Wow, that's a really good impression of that.
That's amazing.
I think they need to open up a wild boar season, and by season I mean no tags, no limits. Get your shotgun and go get them.
This is Canada. Never happened. That's so politically incorrect. Oh my God, the aunties would. Oh, PETA. Oh,
the cute little bacon seeds.
I don't know why they don't treat this the same as they treat coyotes. You know, make a little money off this, have a tag. You go buy a tag, but it's an unlimited tag.
Well, coyotes, yeah, exactly. Same as coyotes here in New Brunswick. They're unlimited. Coyotes. Shoot as many as you want.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And all you got to do is have a varmint license. You can. They want to make a little more money. They can make a wild boar license that's sort of like a varmint license, but it's the same.
Well, just add wild boar to the varmint license and then go. If Saskatchewan even has one of those, they might be allowed to hunt their varmints without a license. I don't know.
That's true. But they don't make more money that way. I'm just thinking, I'm always looking at what's the incentive for the government to do this?
Right. Yeah. Well, make more money.
Two incentives that any government has: public safety, or at least the image of public safety, and money.
Yeah.
No, really. I mean,
no, you're right. It's just funny to hear that the image of public safety, yeah. Which most of the laws are the image of public safety.
That's right.
Yep. So yeah, no, let's go shoot pigs.
Yep. Did anybody email back about that article in the the Brandon Sun?
Nope, nobody did.
And I think the Brandon Sun. Well, I can't help but think Brandon, Manitoba.
Could be.
Maybe it was Manitoba, actually, not Alberta.
I don't know. Could be. Mm. I'm not a geologist.
Nope, you're sure not. Your geography sucks, too, but whatever.
A geographist?
A geographist. There you go. Now you've nailed it. All right, so Saskatchewaners, listeners from Saskatchewan, go shoot a wild boar, and for the rest of us, let's talk about goose hunting.
Well, and just one more comment on the wild boar. They're in Maine. They're coming.
Yeah. Oh, no, they're going to be in New Brunswick soon, too.
Not going to be many years, and they're going to be like the turkeys and be here.
Right. So we can have wild turkey and wild boar for supper. Although you don't want to eat the wild boar, from what I hear. Steve shoots them down in Australia quite a bit, and he says he won't go near them.
Really?
They're gross.
Really? That's interesting, because I know down south they eat them. They're great.
Yeah. Probably boar, just the sows, really though, good. Not the boars.
Could
because
be.
If you think about a domestic pig, they castrate them. Otherwise, the meat's no good. So you got to get the nuts off of them.
Right.
So you're probably
listening to Armed Squirrels Project too much.
Yeah. Apparently, so you got to. They're probably eating the sows.
Could be.
And I'm okay with that.
Oh, I don't eat anything that's bacon.
That's right.
All right, Owen, you're going to talk to us about goose hunting.
Today is National Bacon Day.
I'm in.
What?
I don't know why I haven't had bacon yet.
Why didn't you tell me this hours ago so I could have bought some bacon?
I did. I posted it on Facebook this morning. I was like, eat well, my friends.
You didn't tell me.
You're on my Facebook. But
you told all the people that go on your Facebook. I don't go on your Facebook.
If I would have called you and said today's National Bacon Day, you would have hung up on me.
No, I wouldn't have. I would have been like, woohoo, and I would have stopped and bought bacon on the way home.
All right, well, I'm going to call you tomorrow and make something up and see if you hang up or not.
All right, so we'll try this for the third time, goose hunting.
Before we get into this, remember, we have a listener in Manitoba, Ed Wilson, my archery buddy Ed. He's never written in. I'm afraid of what he'll say if he ever does.
Ed, you should write in.
Ed's a hardcore goose guy.
Right.
And he knows his stuff.
So he's going to call you out, Owen, if you say it wrong.
Yeah.
No pressure.
He's already not impressed with what you think a trophy bear is. So you need to get this right. Otherwise, I'm going to get angry text messages about it. So,
Owen, screw it up, please.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah. So goose hunting, the best way to do it is run around in a field and honk your horn in your car.
That reminds me, Jeff Ryan still has my goose calls from like 4 years ago when he went to Manitoba to hunt.
You have goose calls?
Yeah, I've got. Remember that Hennessy guy or Darren?
Heaney. Brandon
Darren?
Heaney.
No.
Oh.
Remember my buddy Darren I was telling you about?
No. Nobody remembers Darren.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, he gave me a nice set of calls.
Okay. Yeah, you call, just as a squirrel here, you call Brandon the wrong name, or Brendan the wrong name on Armed Squirrels Project.
I know.
Was that on purpose?
Yes.
It was a joke?
Yeah.
You didn't laugh after, so I didn't know if it was a joke or not.
That's what makes it even funnier.
You're funnier. Okay, Owen, goose hunting? Fourth time? Charm, maybe?
Sure. What do you want to know?
Well,
okay, well, here in New Brunswick, do we have two seasons or not?
Yes. It's a little bit different here than the rest of the country, probably, or a good part of the country. We don't have the populations of resident geese or even migratory geese like Ontario, Southern Ontario, and Quebec and Alberta. the limits on geese in Alberta are unbelievable.
How many are they?
I think it's something like 50 in possession and like 25 a day or something.
I believe it. So it's not unbelievable. Sorry.
Ed, it's, you can correct that by emailing slamfireradio.
Yeah. I don't know it for sure. Actually, I could probably look it up if you really want to know.
No, we don't.
Look
no,
it up.
No, we don't.
I will look
we
it
don't
up.
Care. We want to know what New Brunswick's are.
Yeah. In New Brunswick, it is 8. In the early season, it is 8 per day and 16 in possession. And then the regular season, it drops to 5. Yeah, there's
is
two seasons.
Tags?
There, no, you,
no,
you go.
No tags. You just go by the number in your possession.
That's right. Though you do have to transport it with one wing left on the bird. So if you were going to transport the meat, I mean, we just shoot them and we clean them at home, so they're still whole when we transport them. But if you were going to transport them, you know, if you were hunting somewhere and traveling, you'd have to leave one wing on.
Yeah, that's so conservation officers can identify the species.
Exactly, exactly.
I learned that on Canada in the Rough.
Oh, there you go. There is two seasons. There's an early season and the regular season. The early season is goose only. It's a waterfowl tag. So the waterfowl incorporates a lot of different things, but mainly ducks and geese. But the early season is it's different for each province, but here it's the first 3 weeks of September.
So what's going on right now?
So this is early. Yes. It started on Tuesday.
Interesting. How many times have you been out hunting?
This was the first year since I've started hunting that I missed opening day because of work. And,
aren't you glad you got that job?
Yes, I am glad I got the job, but it's going to suck for hunting this year. So, because it'd been in the past, because I was self-employed and just nature of my job, I could just go, there's geese in that field. Yeah, I'm going to rearrange my schedule and let's go hunting.
Yeah.
He goes to work every day with a plumber and with a plunger and a shotgun.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that's the early season. The early season is mostly resident geese, and the idea behind that season was as more of a cull season for the resident geese in southern Ontario and Alberta and these places where it's actually a problem. The geese are so plentiful that it's actually a pest problem at this
right.
point.
Well, there was the plan that
works.
Huh?
Oh, there's that too, yeah.
Yeah, the plane that went down in the Hudson there in New York was brought down by Canadian geese. Canada geese. There we go. They're not Canadian geese. They're Canada geese.
Yeah.
But, yeah, anyway.
So, yeah, I mean, there's just so many of them that they've instituted this to try to thin out the resident. I mean, up north is not a big deal because it's just vast tracts of wilderness, and they're up there all summer, and it's no big deal. But in the cities.
Yeah, the ones that live here locally throughout the summer, sure. Yeah, they make a mess of things.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, we don't have as big a problem with it here in New Brunswick, but because it's a federal license, the migratory bird license that you buy is a federal license. So if I buy it in New Brunswick, I can use it to hunt anywhere in Canada. And
that's
so
cool.
It's a federal license so that if they create a season for early goose, it has to apply across the entire country.
Gotcha.
Now, it may be slightly, you know, the dates might be slightly different because of, you know, zones and things like that, but there has to be that season. So,
I got an interesting little tidbit for you, Owen. Geese was the first thing I ever bow hunted.
Really?
You can actually hunt them with a bow in New Brunswick. It took a little bit of doing, like when Matthew wanted to find out if he could hunt with his air pistol. Every time he asked a person, he got a different answer. Mm-hmm. I finally found the legislation. And I kept it on me and all the rules and regulations in case I was a warden came to check me out or something. But, yeah, I was hunting. I was doing it all wrong. but I was, you know, I was in a field in a ground blind with a bow where geese hang out, hoping to pop one, which, as I said, I was doing it all wrong, so I never did. And by all wrong, I mean I didn't have decoys and I didn't have a call. But I did.
And you were running around flapping your arms going, honk, 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 honk.
Yeah, exactly, right? So, yeah.
Okay, so I just found the Alberta numbers. Yeah, on geese, and it is 50 daily, no possession limit.
Wow.
That's a lot. Yeah. They must have a lot of geese out there. Gooses?
That includes like snow geese and stuff. They've got unbelievable numbers of snow geese.
Right.
So this Darren guy that I knew from archery who was like a sponsored waterfowl hunter and stuff, and he used to have a trailer with all of his, you know, like he was practically like a semi-professional at this. Yeah. He had the thing that you put your calls on, that
a lanyard.
Yeah, that lanyard was chock full of bands.
Yes.
They're like little trophies. What's the story on the bands?
Basically, scientists and researchers will band geese from time to time in various areas for tracking purposes and just information. So if they catch the goose at another time, down south, they can see where they've migrated to and things like that. And when it's perfectly legal to shoot a bird that has a band on it, like that, and usually hunters kind of keep that as like a little trophy. It's just a little silver band that goes around the leg of the bird, and hunters usually just open it up. It's split on one side. They open it up and put it around their lanyard that they carry their calls on. And it's kind of a, I'd call it a trophy, I guess, because it's not like you're mounting your goose heads.
No, and it's also, aren't there different colored ones for different meaning, different things, like from different locations and stuff like that?
I've never seen that on geese. So all the ones I've seen for geese are all silver. Mm-hmm. I think with ducks, there may be some colored ones.
Okay.
I've never shot a band.
So if you do shoot a band, do you call it in? Like, are you supposed to call it in.
They don't require you to, but right. You can. And it's kind of interesting. They'll send you all the information basically on that bird, where it was tagged and what date and all the all the information on it.
Well, that'd be kind of cool just to find out anyway, just to say, hey, this bird came from Florida or whatever.
Then they forward your name and address on to the bird's family.
That's right. To notify the next of kin. Yeah. This is the guy. Go poop on his lawn.
Yeah. The group in here, they used to hunt with Darren, actually. They have their own team now. They, again, sort of semi-professional. They sell merchandise and everything with their logo on it. Now, they shoot bands. I haven't heard this year if they've got any, but last couple years, they really shot. They shot a lot. I mean, they had three or four bands shot in their group a year, no problem.
Wow.
So, but these guys are hunting. I mean, they're shooting like just an unbelievable amount of birds. I mean, we're talking just
spending an unreasonable amount of time on birds too.
Yeah, like 1,000 birds a year, like just crazy numbers. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So this is what they do. They don't have any other hobbies. I shouldn't say that. Some of them do, but they go and they just, this season comes and they kiss their families goodbye and they live in the field. I mean, that's just, really, that's how it is for them,
Do you use the redneck recliner?
The redneck recliner. Fill me in. I've not heard that term.
That's a little term that Ed taught me and my buddy Jeff taught me. It's the pop-up blind that you lay flat in and then you pop up when the birds come and you pop out of it. And start
shooting. I see.
Spring-loaded.
Called a layout blind?
Redneck recliner, I think, is the actual term.
Okay. I've never heard that. But, yeah, basically, there's all different types of blinds. And there's so many different types, different brands. Every company's got their own take on a layout.
Do you dig a hole in the ground and do that? Or do you
We just have layout blinds. They're, now I'm going to have to... They're called the Hitman. I can't remember the company that makes them now, but they're a pretty decent quality blind with two doors, spring loaded doors on the top, and lots of room inside for putting all your gear and stuff. So
you're laying in this thing, doors are closed. You get your shotgun like what between your legs?
Mine actually. There's a framework, an aluminum framework in this. So I have mine. The butt of the gun is sitting about my short ribs. On my right hand side, and the barrel is sticking out through the doors about my knees up on top of like this bar that lays across
So there's no fear in muzzling yourself.
Nope.
You got some putts in there with a safety off that pulls a SERPA holster move.
Yeah, there's all kinds of different blinds, and one of the ones I used to use was basically like a big sleeping bag with just a kind of a aluminum framed hood that flipped down. And when you sat up, you had to use one hand to flip that up. But the gun couldn't be inside with you; it had to lay on top of the blind, and it was not hard to muzzle your feet and everything else. You had to be careful. Basically, what the way mine works is, as you sit up, you you already have two hands on your gun as you sit up, and your shoulders hit the doors, and because they're spring loaded, they spring open all on their own, and the gun is already pointed straight away, and you just come straight up, sitting up, and put the gun to your shoulder. You don't have to swing it from right to left to get it online. It's very fast, very very quick to get to sit up and get the gun in, you know, into shooting position.
Did shooting trap actually help for this?
It does, because it's going to teach you leads and things like that. But with waterfowl, if you're field hunting, we mostly field hunt around here, and so your birds are flying into you. You're setting up so that they have to land into all birds like that have to land into the wind, and so they're coming towards you when you're shooting at them, not flying away from you, at least initially. You know, so it certainly can't hurt, but it's not exactly the same. I mean, if you wanted to have it the same, you would be standing downrange shooting back as the clays came towards you. Yeah.
So, is it, if they're coming towards you, is that easier? And do you shoot directly at them, or do you shoot where they're about to fly to?
With geese, they're pretty slow moving. So, if they're coming straight at you, and they're gonna come in and land. I mean, the landing gear is out. The wings are just kind of flapping back and forth, hovering. They're about to land. It's kind of the ideal situation. They're only probably 20 yards away, maybe, if that. I mean, that's ideal. You're just popping out and you're just shooting them direct.
I could do that with my Versamax.
Oh yes, absolutely, you could with that. Now the trick comes: you get your first shot off, you drop a goose. The rest of them at this point are probably taking off, and as you get later in the season, they get smarter and they get more wary, and you tend to have to shoot them at longer distances. You have to find that moment where the geese have noticed you, and you can tell when they know you're there and when they start to flare off, and that's if you're going to take them. They're in range. That's when you have to get them. So at that point, you're shooting birds that are flaring and moving right or left, you know, your first shot, you're going to have to lead slightly. Your second and third shot, you're definitely going to have to start leading. But they're big birds. They're not moving that fast. They're not like ducks. Ducks coming in are moving 100 miles an hour, often just right to left. And you might have to lead a duck by like 3 feet or 4 feet.
Well, jump, you know?
But a goose, generally, you're shooting at its beak or a little bit ahead of it if it's really moving. And Or some long distance. You know, you get some birds that are out there 40, 50 yards.
That was my next question. Do you aim at the bird's head? Do you aim at their bird's body? I mean,
ideally, I mean, you want to shoot them in the head because it's an instant kill, A. And B, you're not peppering the meat with a bunch of shot.
Yeah, I remember I was over at your place just a couple weekends ago, and we had some goose. And I think we found 4 or 5 pellets between the people at the table.
Yeah, it was pretty shot up. So
yeah, it was like, oh, this is delicious, tink, 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 as another one fell out. Oh, this is so tink, 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 as it hits the ground.
Yeah. That's the downside of that. But, yeah, I mean, you're trying to aim for the heads, but at the same time, it's a shotgun. There's pellets going anywhere, and if you put the bird on the ground, whatever it takes. I mean, a lot of times you shoot it, and you just get a broken wing. You know, and it goes down, and you've got to go out and kill it after. You know, and that happens. That's part of hunting. And when you're shooting the number of birds, it's not like hunting big game where you're spending all year or your whole season to pull the trigger once on a big animal. You're shooting maybe a box, two boxes of ammo every trip out at multiple birds.
If you didn't start so early in the morning, this would be like the most awesome sport ever.
It is a most awesome sport ever.
But you've got to get up early, like before the sun gets up.
You got to get up early for everything. Oh, yeah. I'm in my deer stand before the sun comes up. I'm in my bear stand before the sun comes up.
That's why Matt's never shot a deer or a bear.
Yeah, I shoot grouse. They get up around 10. That's my kind of hunting. That's my kind. You get up when you get up, and the sun comes up, wait an hour. Then they're out in the trails warming themselves up. Then you go out and get them. That's the way you should do it. These goose things that come in so early. Gosh.
It's not that they come in early, but you have to be there before they do.
You've got
a couple hours of setup to do to get your decoys out and get your blinds all stuffed, because you want to stuff your blinds with straw from that field, or whatever you're hunting in, corn, potatoes, whatever it is right. you're hunting from that field, because let's say straw from one field is going to look different than straw from another field.
Right.
But yeah, either, even if it's
pretty
same,
smart.
Oh, yeah. And especially, I mean, right now, guys who hunt opening day, the geese are dumb. You can stand out in the field and wave your arms and they'll just come in and land beside you almost. I mean, not quite, but they're pretty stupid. But once you start getting into, you know, October and they've been hunted as heavy as, especially around here where we don't have the volume of geese, the numbers, those geese get hunted over and over again. And again, like I say, we hunt in an area that has a semi-professional hunt team that hunts at least once a week. And you're going to get birds that they've hunted, and it's they're a hard act to follow.
Yeah. I've tried to get close to them on a tree line at the edge of a field, and they got those sentinels around the perimeter, and that's it. Their only job is to watch for you.
Yep.
And if they're on the ground, getting close to them, forget it.
Yep.
See, the thing is, you got to hunt them in the city parks. You can just walk right up to them.
Slingshot. Yeah, the crossbow.
Crossbow, slingshot, just a rock, get a stick, really? Baseball bat? Pfft, no worries.
I did stalk a goose once. This is kind
is
of
that
funny.
The restraining order story?
No.
Oh.
We were hunting in the field. I don't think we'd seen anything all morning. Well, we'd seen lots, but they were all flying by. It was a bad job of scouting. The birds didn't want to be in that field. So we basically just blew our lungs out at hundreds of geese as they flew by the field. So finally, with me and the guy I was hunting with, Lance, we were just like, we've had enough of this. Let's go get the trucks. Let's pack up. Let's get out of here. So we pick up our shotgun. I never leave without my shotgun, almost ever. So I pick up my shotgun, head down the field towards the truck, and we get about a couple hundred yards away, 200 or 300 yards away, and don't we hear a honk? We turn around, and two geese float into our spread just as perfect as can be. And we were just like, oh, man, and here we are across the field. So he said, well, we might as well walk back. So we're walking back, and we're like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We know we're not going to be able to sneak up on these. You can't sneak up on geese. I mean, it's just not possible. So he said, well, we'll try it. So we used every little roll in that field to get as close as we could. And then we kind of crouch down and walk really slow. And then as soon as one of the geese would stick their head up, we'd freeze. It was kind of like a big game of red light, green light. Really, because the head would go up and we'd freeze. And it would stare and it would look. And then its head would go back down. And we'd slowly inch forward and get a little closer. And then the head would go up and we'd freeze. We just did it. We must have done that for 75 yards to walk up on these geese. Until finally they kind of were like, wait a minute. Those guys are a lot closer than they were a minute ago. And they took off, but we were close enough at that point we were able to shoot them.
And you got them.
Yeah, we got them. So
wow.
It is possible, but it's, yeah, with a large group, there's just too many eyes. Too many eyes. And it's same with the birds in the air. To pull a large group of geese in, it's pretty cool to see that large of a group of geese above you, but there's so many eyes. And they're all watching, they're all looking, and it's really hard to pull a big group in like that. I love to see groups of like five or six. That's a really good number.
Cool.
So let's talk about calls and calling and learning to call, Owen.
Yep. I don't actually have my calls on me here at the moment. I could go get them if you wanted, but
yeah, no, let's have you just blow your calls into the mic for the rest of the... And this is a male goose, honk, 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 and this is a female.
Yeah, and this is a 5-pound trigger pull.
Yeah, no, calling, this is, I think, one of the things I love most about the sport. It's not... I don't want to say that other sports are easy, because they're not. I mean, everything has its skill, and I have a lot of respect for guys who can go out and shoot a big buck every year. But if you can't call, you can't hunt geese. Everyone can get lucky and shoot a deer, once in a while.
Right. You don't have to call your deer in. All you got to do is put a big bag of apples under the tree and wait for it to come. But goose, yeah, you got to call them. So if you're not good at that, they're not going to come in.
Yep, and so there's a fair bit of skill to calling. There's different calls that mean different things to the geese, and the order you use them in and how you do it can make a huge difference on the success of a hunt. the other aspect, and this sort of goes with calling, the other aspect of goose hunting I really love is the teamwork aspect. You can hunt solo. I've done it before. I've done it successfully before. But you gotta, you're like a one-armed paper hanger. I mean, you're trying to flag and you're trying to
call,
blow the calls, and you're trying to make sure that your gun's ready to go, and you're trying to look around and see where the geese are. It's a lot of work. So it's nice to have a group of guys. Plus, there's the camaraderie. There's the laughing and joking in between groups, you know,
and the one person can call the other person and wake them up because it's too early in the morning to be getting out of bed at this hour because it's still dark out.
Yes, that does happen. I have fallen asleep in my blind to wake up to honks. So,
I would so fall asleep. I fight to stay awake in tree stands all the time. Well, not been a couple of years, but
yeah. And by all the time, you mean that one time when there was that bear? No, I'm just teasing you.
No, but I did decide to leave the tree stand before I fell, and on the way out saw a cow with two calves, like within a minute of my stand.
Well, at least goose hunting, if you fall asleep like Owen said, you're not going to fall out of your tree.
Exactly. So I would totally be in for that. Yeah. Wake me when they start to.
Yeah, wake me when they're coming in, boys.
Yeah, because you've got a flag. The flagging simulates movement in the field. So you've got usually have one guy that's doing the flagging. You have.
Can't you get like remote control flagging geese and stuff?
Oh, yeah, you can. Yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, but they're expensive and I don't know. They would work. They would work well, but we don't use them.
The flagging works all right on its own then?
Yep. Yeah.
Cool.
And you also have as many callers as you can have because you're trying to simulate a big flock of geese. Right. And we hunt with decoys. You pretty much have to. And our group, I think we've got about 5 or 6 dozen decoys right now. Full-bodied decoys.
Yeah.
Some people later in the season will hunt with like 8 or 9 dozen decoys or 10. I mean, just depending where you are and how big your field is and how many people you're trying to hide in the field.
Right.
So there's a lot of work involved in the setup. And you're trying to simulate with your calling that many geese. That's hard to do just by yourself.
You're allowed to use electronic calling.
No, you're not.
That's illegal, I guess.
Yep. You're not allowed to use live geese as decoys.
Right.
And you're not allowed to use electronic.
That'd be kind of cool. I'll just get a bunch of pet geese. What do you do? Oh, I just walk around in a field and call in my friends so my owner can shoot him in the face.
Yeah.
Makes total sense.
I'm the only guy in our group that is a decent caller. We've got a random New Brunswick Dave. I hunt with him and he's got some really nice calls and I'm hoping, Dave, if you're listening to this, you need to get on that and start learning how to use them.
Got to get mine back and then maybe you can show me how to use them sometime.
I'll be the flagger.
Yep.
Or the shooter. Actually, that'd be the easiest part.
Well, hopefully everybody's a shooter, but
yeah.
No, it's fun. And, I mean, I have a gun. I like my guns to be multi-purpose, but I do have a dedicated goose gun. It is my goose gun and it is set up for goose hunting. And that's
KSG, does. Right?
Yeah.
Cool. So the ideal goose gun, what does it look like?
The ideal goose gun. The ideal
gauge,
goose gun.
32-inch barrel.
I think the ideal goose gun is a semi-automatic that can handle 3.5-inch shells and has a how do I put this? Has a riser on the barrel so that when you shoulder that shotgun, you don't see anything except that bead. It's so important. I mean, that's important for any shotgun shooting to have it fit properly.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have that gun. You're shooting sitting down after having just done a sit-up, and then you're going to shoot, a big bird. It takes a lot to put one of these birds down, especially now that we can't use lead shot.
Right.
We're allowed to use steel and non-lead shot.
Non-toxic, I think is how they call
it. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Even over...
Yep.
Really? Yep. When did they change that?
All waterfowl hunting.
Quite a few years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I think it used to be just over water, Trev, but now it's any waterfowl hunting, no toxic shot.
Right, so you got to use tungsten.
Or steel.
Or steel. Steel is the most common. Tungsten shot is pretty expensive. I shoot heavy metal, which is half tungsten, half steel. So you kind of get the best of both worlds without getting really expensive. Mm-hmm. Works amazing. It's unbelievable. I've made shots on birds that I didn't even think were possible to make with a shotgun.
You're saying you popped one out to 70 yards once?
I shot a duck on the wing at 70 yards.
A duck?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It took us an hour to find it.
why do you suck at traps so much then?
You can just check my score from the last from the charity shoot.
Yeah, check it.
Yeah.
What was it?
It's pretty decent. 17.
Yeah. Right. It wasn't 20 though, right?
Nope.
Which is what I got.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Oh, hey, I never said that you weren't better.
I'm just teasing you, man.
Second time ever shooting trap, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, no, you're all right. I just wanted to rib you a little bit. Jeez. All right, so one last thing before we move, probably before we wrap up this section. 10-gauge versus 12-gauge.
12-gauge.
Yeah.
And why is that? 10 is overkill. I mean, I know guys that hunt with a 12-gauge, or a 10-gauge rather, and those things kick.
Well, I read, and I was debating 12 versus 10 at one point. I don't know why, but I was interested in the discussion anyway, and so I looked up some information on it, and it's kind of like the 9mm theory we talked about last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever we did that. The advances in shotgun ammunition, you really don't need to go to 10-gauge anymore.
That's right.
A 3.5-inch Magnum 12-gauge will do just the same as a 10-gauge will.
That's
and the 10-gauge will be twice as much money.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
they're a lot more expensive.
And a bunch more kick. Yeah. So why go with the bigger one when the smaller one does the same thing?
Yep, exactly.
You still need a 10-gauge just
fun. Because. Yeah. Double barrel with two triggers so you can let them both off at the same time.
Can you imagine?
No.
No.
No, I can't.
I don't want to imagine. Giving me nightmares just thinking about it.
Absolutely.
No, yeah, I mean, I could talk about goose hunting all night because there's so many things involved in it.
Well, maybe what we'll do is we'll talk more about it as the season goes on. You can kind of tell us how you've been doing and just kind of add in more tips and tricks, and we'll just kind of make this an ongoing discussion as the goose hunting season unfolds.
Sure. Yeah, I hope to get some more in this year. I'd really like to get you out.
I would like to be out there too. What time does it start again? 10?
That's 10 p.m. when we stay overnight in the field, yeah.
Look, if we stayed overnight in the field, that'd be all right, because I could just sleep there, and I wouldn't have to, like, get up and go. I'd just sleep there.
We don't actually sleep, like, in our blinds. We sleep in the trucks, and then we have to get up at 4 and 5 in the morning.
Well, I'd rather just sleep in the blind.
Yeah, no, you don't. You don't want to sleep in the blind.
If it's comfortable.
Cold. It's cold, man. Oh. In late October, early November, it's cold.
Yeah, because I've never slept outside before, so...
Wait. Yeah, well, I'm just telling you, it's cold.
All right, well, that was cool. I enjoy hearing about goose hunting from Owen because you're always so enthusiastic about it. And
I started maybe 5-6 years ago, something like that, and I fell in love with it. I mean, it was one of the first types of hunting I did beyond just, you know, grouse hunting, and I really fell in love with it. And everything else I do strictly for the meat.
Right.
I mean, I like bear hunting, but I try to shoot a bear because I want to put meat in my freezer.
Yeah.
I only deer hunt because I want the meat. I have no interest in just deer hunting just for the sport of deer hunting. Grouse hunting I do just because it gives me a chance to go walk around the woods with a gun.
Right. Yep. As I hunt.
I hunt ducks and geese because I love to hunt ducks and geese.
Yeah.
It's a real sport. And yes, I eat all the meat, and it's not economical meat.
But it is delicious.
It's good, but it's not economic.
I don't know about that.
Oh, I mean, yes, it is.
The best I've ever had it was in sausage, followed by your having it in bottled. But like roasting it in a slow cooker or in an oven, it's very difficult to do and make taste good.
Okay, so when we had the big power outage here, we cooked some on the barbecue, and it was the best we'd ever had. My wife took just a single goose breast, took a knife, because I'll explain this, and this is worth explaining because everyone has a problem with goose meat. take a knife blade, drive it in the end, basically hollow out the inside without, you know, cutting the thing in half. You want to stuff that with green peppers, onions, mushrooms, whatever else you want. Cheese. Cheese is really good. Put it inside.
Bacon.
Butter inside. And then wrap the whole thing in bacon, wrap the whole thing in tin foil, and slow cook it on the barbecue. Or you could go slow cook it in an oven.
Yeah, I'm in. I'm in. What time is she going to start this thing up? I'll be over.
It is phenomenal.
I bet you. Well,
it's very,
I don't know.
It's very dry meat. Yeah. You can't just throw it on a pan or throw it in the oven because it'll turn to shoe leather. It's very dry. It's very lean meat.
Yeah, it spends half of its life in the sky. There's no fat on this animal.
That's right. Well, I remember last time when I was overeating it, I actually shredded the breast that I was eating, and it tasted a lot more like roast beef than anything. And when I shredded it, I don't know, maybe because I wasn't chewing such a dense piece of meat, but it actually tasted better shredded.
Yeah, we do it all the time that way. Yeah, shred
really
it up
good.
And put some barbecue sauce in.
It's almost like pulled pork, except it's beef.
Yeah,
it's very good. All right, well, we're getting a little long in the beak here.
Okay.
See what I did there? So we're gonna break off and do some listener feedback. And apparently we've had one listener who's been, like, kind of whining about not getting enough attention, I guess. I don't know. Archie Perry, are you there?
Hey, can you hear me?
We can hear you. Archie Perry, welcome to Slam Fire Radio. Live.
I thought I saw someone lurking in the background there.
Seriously?
Thanks. It's an honor, guys. It's an honor.
Look, all we've ever heard, I mean, everybody should recognize your voice. You've been on the show several times as a recording, but live. Archie Perry live. So this is a real honor for us.
Ordinarily, when I send in a 1 or 2 minute clip, it takes me about
magazine.
Six,
it's magazine. Magazine, not clip.
Sorry. 1 or 2 minute magazine.
Right.
It takes about 6 or 7 tries to get it down right. So I'll be looking forward to your editing skills.
Oh, no, we don't edit here. Have you not listened to the show recently?
Actually, that was the whole point. I'm a little behind on my listening. I've been busy all summer long, so I'm just catching up.
Right. Well, what's the last episode you caught up on?
The one right after you came back from your hunting trip. Your horse riding trip.
My wedding trip?
Yeah, your wedding trip.
All right, yeah. So you're not that far behind. That's cool.
Yeah.
So there you go. How's that for accommodating, Archie? You send one little email saying you're getting caught up. Next thing you know, you're on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually, it's like a dream come true, guys.
You start crying, I'm hanging up on you. I got to say.
You need to stop eating pickles and ice cream before bed.
So do we need to read Archie's email then?
Maybe we should have Archie read his email.
I don't suppose you have a copy of your email you sent in.
I can find one.
Oh, that's good. And while you do that, we'll fill in the background because, you know, we don't want to have dead
email?
Air. We could do the next email.
That would be too logical, though, wouldn't it?
Oh, it really would. Trevor, you haven't read anything yet. Man, it's your turn.
Oh, man. And I'm done cleaning a gun, so I don't have an excuse. Only I don't have my show notes open. Here we go. Okay, hold
on. It's from Harold. And Owen, any more goose hunting tips you got for us while
Harold
catches up? Oh, here
I've been
he is.
Listening. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
I've been listening to another podcast.
Stop. You listen to another podcast? I'm sorry, you're out.
Yeah. You scarlet of the night.
Yes. Sorry. Carry on.
I've been listening to another podcast and noticed that the NRA commercial in the podcast describes the NRA as America's oldest civil rights organization. I also noticed that the Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership describe themselves as a civil rights organization. It's an American thing, yeah. Since firearms owners have the moral ground, why not use the same phrase for the Canadian Firearms Association?
So there we go. Why don't we?
Because it's a cultural difference, and it's a constitutional difference.
I think what the Americans do is the NRA actually promotes themselves as that, I think, and so does the Jews for Preservation of Firearms Ownership. The thing is here, the CSSA and the NFA don't identify that way, as far as I can tell, and so I don't know if we would be in the right to claim that they are civil rights organizations if they don't even claim to be. I think they are, just by a simple matter of, you know, they are they're pro gun ownership, and so I think they are pro civil rights. But I don't I don't know if we can call them that until they first identify that way themselves.
But that's a thought. I think maybe that they don't, just because it's Canadians don't do that. And I'm not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm just saying they don't.
Right. And maybe we should. I don't know. I haven't really even thought about this, to be perfectly honest, Harold, until you sent in your email. So thank you for that, because it gives me some food for thought, and I'll continue to think about it a bit. Because I mean,
the Americans can always claim, you're infringing my Fourth Amendment. You're infringing my Fifth Amendment. You're infringing my First. You're infringing my Second. We don't live that way. We don't have those First, Second, Fourth, Fifth Amendments
we
to
just
fall
have
back
the
on.
Charter of Rights
right,
and Freedoms.
Right, when somebody violates our rights.
Our Charter Rights, yeah.
Yeah, we have Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, but
we don't hear people saying that, though. And maybe that's not a good thing. Maybe we should be saying that more. Maybe we should be making the people who are, you know, it, for lack of a better word, if they're oppressing us, they might be if they're violating our civil rights. But maybe we should be calling them out on it and saying, look, I have the right to be free from unreasonable search and seizure, and what you're doing right now violates my right according to the Canadian Charter of Freedoms and whatever it is again.
Yep.
Forget. Yep. But you know what I mean? Maybe we should be doing that.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no question everybody should know their rights and not be afraid to speak their mind when someone in a position of authority is infringing upon them.
Yep.
But make sure you know what you're talking about. Otherwise, you come off sound like a pocket lawyer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, Harold.
Archie.
Archie. I believe we have an email from Archie Perry, an audio submission, if you will. Take it away, Archie.
Dear Slamfire Radio, I've been busy and away most of the summer and now frantically trying to catch up on a pile of back episodes. Many thanks for donating the countless hours to produce this high-quality internet radio. I would appreciate a shout-out, though, seeing as how I'm a long-time listener and I've not even had a shout-out, not even from the CRR days. Kind regards, Archie Perry. P.S., what's up to Chris Anderson Presents? We need more content, bro.
It's hilarious. It sounds exactly like you would have recorded it.
I thought the same thing. Well, first of all, we're not Chris Anderson's keeper, and we don't deliver messages.
That's right. So tell him yourself, although I'm pretty sure he's listening right now.
And second of all, have you really not had a shout-out? No. No.
There might have been one.
Oh, yeah. That's like saying I might like guns. Or I might hate 1911s. Heavens. You feel better now, Archie?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Okay, so why don't you take a second then while you're here and tell us what you did this week in guns.
Well, actually, I just bought a new 1911.
Okay, so Matthew,
so we're going to wrap up.
Now, there's nothing wrong with liking a good piece of history.
Right.
Now, the one that I bought is not a good piece of history. It's a Norinco.
I was going to say, what part of good is piece of history is that?
I was at the range today, and a guy had some guns there. I'd never seen him before, and I'm looking, you know, I'm asking, oh, what do you got in here? She goes, he said, that's my 45. It's a Norinco. I went, oh, yeah. And I went to the next one.
We've all seen those. So that's cool. How do you like it?
Well, it hasn't arrived. It's in the mail.
Oh.
Where
question.
We live. Yeah.
Why?
Why is it in the mail?
No, why did you buy it?
Oh, well, I don't know.
We struggle for that answer, too.
Yeah. Carry on.
I guess what happened is I was looking at the equipment's exchange on Gun Nuts, and
whoa, you bought a secondhand Norinco 1911?
Oh yeah,
they're easy to take it.
Good.
No, it came with a bunch of accessories and a holster and all kinds of stuff. So
like
I thought,
a repair manual and a second 1911 to.
I'm really hoping that it's just going to be worked in just perfectly and not need any kind of upgrading or fixing.
Well, here's the thing: the Norinco ones probably are going to be one of the best ones. So you're probably actually going to have a pretty reliable one.
At least that's
what I've heard. I've never owned one myself.
I do have a SIG 1911-22 that works pretty well. I've put probably 2,000 or 3,000 rounds through it. But
you had me at 22.
It doesn't have the kickback that I'm looking for. I want to feel it when it goes off.
Right.
So
I got a 50 Beowulf you could shoot.
Oh yeah.
You feel that? Let me tell you.
Other than that, I also had an old broken down. Single shot, but I sold that for parts, I think, to a guy on Gun Nuts as well. So I've been buying and selling.
Cool. Well, that's fun. I like buying and selling guns.
Yeah, feels good.
Yeah. Trevor just likes buying them. He hates selling them.
Yes, I... But oh, I got rid of my 870.
Oh, gosh.
Can't believe I did that. But I brought home a Glock today, so...
Well, there you go. It evens out.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, gentlemen, shout-outs. Hey, I got one to Archie Perry.
I feel so loved.
You should. That's all you're getting, though.
Mine is to Brian Bolivar. I hope you're shooting really well at the Nationals, buddy. Make us proud.
Owen, any shout-outs from you, man?
No, not really. Anybody that's going to listen to the show. So.
All right, good enough.
I have a shout out to my wife, who I've almost convinced to go goose hunting with me on Saturday.
Speaking of your wife, Styx wants to interview her on Armed Squirrels. I don't know if he.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
For a long time now.
All right. But she's not having any of it, right?
She doesn't really want. Yeah, it's. Yeah.
That's what I said. It's not her thing.
It's not. She just doesn't feel she's. Knows anything about the topic or enough about the topic to speak intelligently on it.
Which is silly.
Which is ridiculous. Oh, it is. Yeah. It's absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. But, you know, can't force people to do things. So.
Yeah, well, that's not true. You force Matthew to do stuff all the time.
And I'm forcing Trevor to go to the national or the provincials with me. So
actually, it looks like we're not going anywhere. They're calling for a 60% chance of rain.
I'm out. Once it passes 50, I'm done.
Yep.
So you heard it here first, folks. Trevor and Matthew wimped out from the New Brunswick Provincials.
We don't want to shoot in the rain.
Oh, my Glock will rust. All right, folks. Thank you for listening, downloading, and subscribing. I made that part up just now. Or maybe I copied it from every other podcast I listen to. Please be sure to join both of our National Civil Rights Firearms Associations. Just trying it out there for size there, Harold. We'll see if it sticks or not. The CSSA and the NFA, they both do really good things for us, and we got to make sure that we retain our gun rights, what little ones we have here in Canada, and make sure they become recognized. Please check us out on Gun Owners of Canada. We've got our own little sub-forum there, and we actually had replies to, like, episode 71. I was all excited and nothing since then. So whoever replied, come on, man, start replying again. We'll have a little conversation over there. It'll be like our little secret.
Check out the new contest. You can win an M14 and a zombie.
Ooh, that'd be cool. I like M14 zombies. Wait, is that what you said?
Yeah.
All right, be sure to like us on Facebook. All kinds of crazy stuff happens over there, too. We got a lot of likes, and we need more, because more is never enough.
So we are like hungry.
We are like hungry. Sound like a surfer boy.
I'm just hungry, and I have a bag of jalapeno chips calling my name.
Ooh, Trevor, bad breath awaits. All right, so also check out the other great shows on the Reno Viola Outdoor Web Radio Network and the Crusader Podcast Network. All kinds of really good shows over there on both of them. So go check them out. Listen, tell them we sent you. I don't know who you're going to tell, but whatever. Go check it out. It's awesome.
Yell at your computer. Yell at your phone.
Yeah. So anyway, Archie Perry, take us out, man.
I don't know. What do you usually say? Hug your guns?
There you go. And Trevor?
I'm Archie Perry?
Oh, that'll work.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over, it's
time to get a gun. One thing that's recommended is that the barrels should be lapped. Does that make sense? No, there should be something should be done to the barrel and the Norinco that will increase the accuracy. No, if it's almost like putting a reamer through it or something, I don't know. It's supposed to look online and see if there's something about how to finishing work on Norinco 1911. Oh,
there's entire threads.
I like, Trevor, how you had a tip for him. Look, this is what you need to do. Look, you got to make sure that whenever you get one of these guns, you got to, well, what is it? You got to look up what you're supposed to do to these guns.
Do it, yeah.
What you do is you go to Google,